This is Crescent Project Radio, bringing you powerful testimony, practical teaching, and exciting truth about God's miraculous movement in the Muslim world, and how we as Christians can join Him in this kingdom work. Our goal is to see every Muslim have an opportunity to respond to the gospel and be connected to a true follower of Jesus. You can find us online at crescentproject.org. Have a comment or question? Email them to radio@crescentproject.org. We would love to hear from you and have a chance to respond on a future program.
Hi, this is Rashida, and you're listening to Crescent Project Radio, where we believe we have a hope worth sharing. Welcome to part two of my conversation with Esther Ahmad, a former volunteer for Jihad who surrendered her life to Jesus. She is the co-author of two books, Defying Jihad, which is her memoir, and Unveiled, The Bible, the Quran, and Women. Esther, in the first part of our conversation, you shared your powerful conversion story, but now we'd love to hear what happened next. As I read your book, I could see God giving you so much grace and a lot of courage in your early days as a believer, in a culture that is so hostile to Christians. What was it like for you as a new believer trying to live out your faith?
Actually, for a couple of months, I was a hidden believer because I was just going there and reading Bible, coming back home. Then in one point, I told John, I said, please give me Bible. I want to read in my home. I was feeling so thirsty, so hungry for that. And then I promised with him, I'm going to hide it. I'm not going to show anyone. So he gave me Bible and I start reading. Sometime it was a whole night. I was keep on reading and keep on reading. It was so interesting for me to know about our prophets, about God, his plans. And I was still a hidden believer. Even I was still reading my veil. I didn't tell anyone because John, he gave me some instruction not to tell anyone. So I was, still reading my veil. Even my family, they were offering prayer. We stand on prayer mat. So when my father, who was leading that prayer, or sometimes my mom, so when they say, Allahu Akbar, I always say, Hallelujah. And that was my, all my actions were like a Muslim, but my heart was with the Lord. I learned by heart some verses from the Psalms and from Gospel, and I was reciting those. But it was quite challenging for me because till I didn't tell anyone, it was okay. But I had seen how they treat Christians, how they speak bad about them, how they feel they are the like worst people. Even just a couple of days, I was watching a video, even one of the ulama, he was giving an emotional speech to the Muslim people. They said that Christians are the worst people on this earth and they have no right to live. And it's so bad, how they spread hate among them. And that's why it is so hard for Christian people to live. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they, even on the workplace, they start hating from them. And sometimes they try to put blasphemy law on them with the small things. They do sometimes their own self. So these kind of things are quite challenging. Even in Pakistan, if there is any Christian have, from 1947, maybe the parents, they got a place and that place now is really well settled and that place have really good value. So they so badly if they want that. So they will maybe tear the pages of Quran themselves and they will put blame on Christians. They say, oh, they did blasphemy. Because tearing Quran page, speaking anything bad about Islam or Muhammad, any word, or if you leave Islam, that person is under blasphemy. Or anyone can kill that person. Even the person who's gonna kill, they make that person, instead of he should get punishment, they make him hero. So this is how it works in Pakistan.
And for you, as you began to work and study and find yourself in different environments, what happened as you began to speak about your faith?
When because my mom and dad, they so badly want me to get married because my two sisters got married and it was my turn. So my mom and dad, they find a good proposal according to them because they find a very religious person. Because they thought I'm reading more often Quran and doing a lot of, like this kind of thing. That was a time I can spend more time with God. Even I just pretend I'm offering prayer or nawafal, which I can offer another time also. So I do that to just, I want to pray more with Jesus. So that was the only day they didn't hear me, because the Islamic prayer, nobody should hear. It should be within you, only or God. So when my father, he said, this year I want to go for pilgrimage. It is in Islam, if a father or mother, they have a daughter who is an adult, but she's not married, then that parent cannot go for pilgrimage to Mecca. So they want me to go there. My father, he said, I want to do a pilgrimage this year. It's called Hajj. So I said, no, I want to continue my study. He said, no, if your husband will allow you, so then you can study. If not, then you have to stay with, you have to just obey your husband. In Islam, woman has no her own choice. Before marriage, she is totally submissive to father and brother. If the father is deceased or dead, so then she has to be totally submissive to brothers. And after marriage, she has to be totally submissive to husband. So this is how the women are in Islam, I would say. So when my father, he said to me, no, you have no need to do this. I said, please let me finish my study. He said, no, you have to pick this and you have to say yes, or we should find another one. So then my mom, she was keep on asking. So one day, finally, I told her, I said, I'm no more Muslim. If I will get married, I will marry with a Christian guy. My mom, she was shocked and she beat me. She said, what did you say this? Who told you these all kind of stuff? I said, nobody told me. I know myself. She said, no, there is someone behind it. Otherwise, no one has taken this step in our family, even in our generations. She was so unhappy. She was beating me with the hose pipe, with the spatula, and with the, you know, rubber shoes, whatever comes in her hand, she was just beating me with that. Even one day, she beat me so hard and she pressed my neck and she said, I'm telling you, I will kill you in the name of Allah. I said to my mom, I said, if you're going to cut me into pieces, each piece will call Jesus, because Jesus is oxygen for me. I cannot live without him. I said, I'm happy. When I was strong, I was happily giving my life. So now I'm on the right place. So now I am more happy to give my life. So she, whenever she beats me, so whenever she was beating me, she always get more pain in her brain. So she stopped for a while. So that was the only, maybe it was God's mercy over me. So he was making her to get pain so then she can stop beating me. But I don't know why, whenever she beat me, I feel mm-hmm. I'm more energetic. I can talk more about Jesus. So this was happening in my, you know, that time. So then finally my mom, and when she was, one day when I was praying, I read the book of Esther. So Esther offered 3 days fast, and then God and changed the whole situation entirely, and it was beautifully turned. So I also fast for 3 days. I didn't eat. I didn't drink anything. And I prayed to God. I said, Lord, please heal my mom. I learned love from you. When I was bad, you came to me. You saved my life. So even though I know my mom, she's beating me, she's also bad like I was one time. So I learned love from you. Your love is flowing from your heart to my heart, and I want it to flow to my mom. And I was praying, then I heard Lord's voice. He said, whenever you're talking to your mom, I'm at your right side. And he said, my spirit is talking through you. I said, Lord, thank you so much. I believe when you talk, Saul, he became Paul. So I believe my mom will also change. I said, Lord, please heal my mom. Whenever she's beating me, she's feeling pain. I said, I can't see that. Please heal her from this disease. And then Lord spoke to me again. And he said, it was in my mind. I heard the Lord's voice in my ears. He's same actually yesterday, today, and forever. He's same God who spoke with Samuel. He's same God who spoke with Abraham. He's same God who spoke with his other prophets. So when he spoke, and he said to me, I will increase her pain, and she will say with her mouth, then only she will be healed. This disease is to glorify my name. Then I said, okay, Lord. Then I start saying, my mom, can I pray for you? Can I pray every day? I was keeping. Then she started beating me sometimes. She said, I know you learned some black magic. You want to try on me? I said, no, I'm going to pray in our native language, in our mother language. She was not willing for that. But day after day, the cyst was growing, and her tumor was growing, and she was even more in pain. So then one day she took me for shopping, and on the way she collapsed on the road, and I thought she's going to be no more. And my mom also, she thought she's lost her time. So she said to me in very slow voice, she said, you pray. And I started praying for her, and praise the Lord. After a few minutes later, she was okay. She stood up and she said, I'm not feeling pain anymore here. I want to go back to doctor. I called my father and I called my other brother and sister. I said, please come over there to hospital because this thing happened to mom. And when we went to hospital, so my father also came there. So then the doctors, they said, it's a miracle. When they retest and rechecked, they said, it's a miracle. There is no any tumor in her and it's gone without operation. So then my mom, she was so surprised because she had never experienced of God's grace. And then she didn't say anything, mm-hmm. but she knew this thing happened. And then one day when my brother also had a small pimple on his leg and God healed him, then my mom was the one who said, you know, I want to be Christian because I never seen growing up. And now in this age, I never see this such a power in one name that is Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, then my mom, she became Christian.
Praise the Lord. That is so awesome. So your mother found out, but what happened when your father found out you'd become a Christian?
When my mom, she said to me, your father keep on asking about the proposal, what should I say? I thought, as I win my mom's soul, I'm going to win my father's too. I said, okay, tell him that I'm no more Muslim. If I want to marry, I want to marry with a Christian guy. So my mom, she said, okay. When she shared with my father, he got so angry. He came in my room and he slapped my face and he said, you are getting crazy. I know how to handle crazy people. He went to mosque and he announced there that my daughter, she became Christian. And then in the evening, there were more than 300 people gathered together to kill me. And it was God. Till today, I am alive. I have seen death. Then I have seen God's great hand, how he saved me.
Amen. Yes. And initially, the people in your community were hoping that they could convert you back to Islam. In your book, you describe weeks of public interrogation that you endured from a variety of religious leaders, professors from your university, and even a famous imam who preached on television. Can you describe those debates a little bit for us and how God poured out his grace on you and used them for his glory?
So the mosque people, they want to show my father favor and they said, okay, we will not kill her, but we will give her some time to talk with the ulamas and some other religious people. And she has to give answer why she became Christian. So they gave me 1 month time period and they said, in every day, someone will come and talk to you. So maybe you can read all in my book, Defying Jihad. I have mentioned all my debates, but I'm going to share one. So one of the lady, she came and she was also from Islamic Jamaat and she came in our home and she said, you know, how Zahira, you can do like that because you born in a Muslim family, you raised as a Muslim and your parents raised you in a beautiful way. What happened to you? Why you became a Christian? It is exactly what the Bible says. I depend totally on him. It is written in the Bible, Jesus Christ said, when they will drag you to the courts, do not be worried what to say and how to say. Holy Spirit will give answer. And truly, truly, Holy Spirit really gave me answer. I just opened my mouth. I was just a vessel. So when I opened my mouth, God gave me the word. I said, I read Quran. I became Christian. She said, how come you can say? She got so angry. She said, how come you can say like that? You read Quran and you became Christian? I said, I have a question. If you will be able to give me answer, I promise I will come back in Islam. But if you won't be able to give me answer, then you have to accept a gift from me. She said, yes, I will do that. And I said, tell me, Hazrat Muhammad is from whose generation, Isaac, Jacob, or Ishmael? So she said, he is from Ishmael. I said, but Quran tells me, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَكُوبَ وَجَعَلْنَا فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِ النَّبُوَّةَ وَالْكِتَابَ. The meaning is, all the prophets and all the books from Allah will come only in Isaac, Jacob, or their generations. No Ishmael. I said, if you say Hazrat Muhammad is from Isaac, Jacob, or their generation, then I will believe, yes, he is from Isaac, Jacob, and their generation. He is the prophet. But if you're going to say he is from Ishmael, which Quran is not telling me? Because when Muhammad was dying, so he said, hold on two things, Quran and Hadith. So I said, Quran tells me this thing. So I have to follow this, what it's telling me. You have to accept whether Hazrat Muhammad is from Isaac, Jacob, or their generation, or you have to accept he is not a prophet. So she said, no, he is a prophet and he is from Ishmael. I said, this is not what Quran is telling you. Even you are not following even what Quran is telling you. She said, no, is it difficult for Allah that he can born a prophet in Arab, in Ishmael's, generation? I said, but it is not difficult for Allah, but there is written 7 times in Quran, وَلَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَالِمَاتِ اللَّهِ Allah never changed his word. I said, are you trying to change Quran? As I said these words, the people who were gathered together, they stood against her. They said, shut up, because even though Zahira, she became Christian, but she's still listening what Quran is telling, and you are trying to change Quran. God really changed the situation totally different. All was in my favor. Then I said, I'm happy. I would love to come back in Islam if you can give me the answer. Then they were forcing her to give answer. She said, I have a dust in my mind. I will come another time with full preparation. Then I said, you didn't answer my question, so you have to accept a gift from me. The only Bible John gave me. I went and took out that very first time in my home. And I said, in front of my mom and dad, I said, this is the living word of God. This holy Bible removed all dust from my brain. I believe it will remove your dust also. So I said, take this and read this. She took and she read. Then she came back also with different questions. So maybe you can read those in my book.
Yes, it's one of my favorite parts of your story in the book. Those debates and the wisdom that God gave you and how God turned the situation around time and time again. So eventually your community and your father realized that you were never returning to Islam and you had to flee for your life, leaving behind your family and everything you'd ever known. Then you spent several years in Malaysia before coming to the U.S. Do you have any contact with your family or know how they're doing?
No. The time I left Pakistan, I have no contact with them. It's hard. It's really hard. But when I was running away from my home, my mom said to me, maybe we'll see each other in the kingdom of God. So that is the only word, the last I do remember from her. I could not see her anymore. I'm sorry.
So sorry.
I know that you pray for them all the time.
Yeah.
And for those who are listening, in the book, you will hear more about what God did in her family even before she left them. So one of my final questions for you, Esther, is as a Muslim background believer, what insights could you share with us about bringing the gospel to Muslims?
I would say it's not coincident that, Muslims are here in the United States or in other Western countries. So it is God's plan that if you cannot go there and share, because some countries are red zone and it's so hard for the missionaries to do work there. God is bringing these people here. So now it's our responsibility to share with them. So how we can share is make them good friends, make such a friendship that they can open their heart with you. That is a time when it's not that, first time you're meeting with them, just start sharing. Second time you're meeting, so each time you have to just talk about God. That is making them more putting the boundaries. So they knew why you are coming here, what your intentions are. But if you can show them, we really love you and we just care about you. We just want to give you a friendship. We just want to spend some time with you, listen them more. And then you have to figure out where they are in religious point of view. If they are very, very deep in Islam, so then you have to pray more and fast more before you talk anything. That's what we are doing. So when we were back in our host country where we fled, so they also, we did the same thing. And praise the Lord, we win 11 souls there. How? Because we built really a beautiful relationship with them. We made them come and eat with us, come and sit with us, or something, go together. And when there was a time when they own self, they invited me. Even one person, they said, sister, you're so good. I can't stop myself inviting you in Islam. So that's the time when you can share with them. That is a time when you can start asking the question about their religion and say, okay, what about this? What about this? Then you can tell about, I read it in my Bible. There's this short is there. So that is a time how you can share. And the same thing we are using here. And the more effective way we have seen is we are using actually their own Quran to reach out to these people. like Jesus, Son of God. So I can show them, I can prove them from their own Quran how they cannot deny Jesus Christ as a Son of God. Because there are some, you know, evidence, there are something which they force them to understand. Or like Trinity. So I can show them from their own Quran, they cannot deny for those things. And there are a lot of things, and that's why I am now sharing in different churches and also speaking in the organization or conferences. So I'm training them to do work, because this is not my work and this is not the other missionaries' work. This is God's work. We are working together. We are His team on this earth. And there is one field, but many workers. But we all are doing for His kingdom. So there is a lot of material in my both books, Defying Jihad and Unveiled. So you can get a lot of the, if Western people, if you don't have words or you don't know how to share, at least give them this book as a gift, on birthday gift, or you can give them as a, you know, a Christmas gift or whatever if you are going meeting them. So just say, because we design in a beautiful way, it look like Islamic book. So you can say, oh, we found this girl with the whale and there was like star and moon. Maybe I thought I can get this book for you. And you don't know, maybe that person is already had the same dream like I had. But still, even Apostle Paul, he had encounter with the Lord, but still he need Ananias to bring down the shell. So we are the Ananias. We have to bring down the shell through the prayer or reaching out to those people. So maybe you're going to give this book and that person have the same dream. Maybe that is a very, you know, beautiful day when the person going to repent to the Lord and come to Him. So this is how we can work. And I didn't write anything against them. So it is like a friendly book, so you can make a bridge among Muslims and Christians.
That's so awesome that you wrote your second book, Unveiled, in that sensitive way that it could be given as a gift to Muslim friends. Do you have any specific stories that you could share of people that you and your family
ministered to in Asia while you were there?
Yes, so we actually usually invite them in our home to eat food and drink with us. So even one time, a girl, she was very social. She liked to drink. I never drink back in Pakistan. But my husband, he said, you know, Apostle Paul, he said, for Jew, I became Jew. So we have to adopt that thing for a while to bring that person out from there. I said, okay. So I drank that time. It was so hard for me, but I was really totally dizzy. But I said, Lord, only for you I'm doing this. And then praise the Lord, that lady, she said, I thought whenever I met with the Christian people, them say sometimes they showed themselves, they are so pure, they are so holy, we all are sinners. So she said, but you are totally different Christian. I like you guys. And then she started coming. And then I said, sister, you know, I can't, it make me dizzy. I can't take every time. She said, no, I'm not going to say you. I just want to check you. So that is a thing. It's a small thing, but that brought us so close to each other. And then praise the Lord, after 2 years, the same girl, she became Christian. And now she's a very strong Christian. She's reaching out to their own people now. So that is how we did. It's not your one cup of coffee, you know, will work if you're going to win someone's soul. So this is how we are working. Here also, God gave us a couple of families, and praise the Lord, we are witnessing to them. And some are from Dubai, some are back in Malaysia, and here, some are from Singapore. Most of the time, whole night, I'm sitting with them and talking with people. But 2 to 3, I'm still praying for my all brothers and sisters back in Pakistan, in Malaysia, here in the United States, or every other request someone sent to us.
Amen.
And do you notice any differences in ministering to Muslims here in the United States versus in Asia?
I feel here is actually easy because here is a free country. There is no any 295C law, what we have back in Pakistan. If anyone is sharing, if they catch that, and then that person will be definitely in jail. So here, there is a freedom here, so we easily can share with people. But maybe here, most people, they are busy. Or sometimes I feel really sad, even they hear the Christian, they don't like to go to churches. That is a really sad part here when we came here. Back in Pakistan, the Christian, they are in really hot place, but still every Sunday they like to go to church. And that in Malaysia also, the people, they are very enthusiastic. They like to go in church. Every Sunday they give priority to God instead of their own businesses, their own other things. But here, they don't have businesses even when we just came here. So one of their friends, I mean, like in our street, someone was putting the things inside. So my husband said, hey, how are you doing? They said, doing good. So he said, are you going to church? He said, no, we are going to beach. That is sad. I said, so me and my husband were so upset. Why they are not going to church? We thought when we were coming from Malaysia to here, we thought there would be the move of Holy Spirit. People are going to church. It's a Christian country. But here I can say they are taking for granted the love of God and the grace of God. So they think, you know, other things are important than God. So that is really sad. God has given you freedom. God has given you all opportunities. God has given you good health. So only this is a matter of only 2 hours to go into church and then you can continue with the other things. But they don't want to do that also. That is sad.
Yes, I think here in the West, many Christians, like you said, take for granted. We don't appreciate what we have in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we can take advantage of the freedom that we have and become very apathetic or just mm-hmm. sort of like not active in our...
And I will also say, if we are not reading our own word of God, which is from God, if we are not reading our own Bible, so how will we be able to answer them? That is, if you're talking with any Muslim, of course, they also had a question. If you don't know about your own book, how are you going to tell them the other thing? So that's very important. I mean, we cannot just only share with the Muslim. We have to read. We have to equip ourselves also in both sides. Because Jesus Christ said, with your deeds, people will know you are my disciples. So your deeds, your work, you're walking at your gospel. So that is the way how people are going to get attracted, how the people are going to come to you, or they're going to talk to you. So when they're going to ask you questions, you must be equipped enough to tell about your book at least. Then you can come back to their own book. So this is all materials you can find in my book. I put like comparatively there in what book.
Well, Esther, thank you so much for your time to come on our podcast and share your incredible story with us.
Thank you.
If you are listening and you would like to contact Esther with a question or speaking invitation, you can send her a secure message through her website, estherahmad.com. That's estherahmad.com. Esther, would you please close us in a word of prayer, especially for believers who need to be encouraged to be passionate about their faith and continue to share it with others?
Yes. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time that my voice is reaching to many more people. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this broadcast as we are working together for your kingdom and for your plan, Lord Jesus, to fulfill on this earth. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity so I can share all the good works you have done in my life. You deserve glory, Lord, because you did work. You deserve glory. This is your story of love. This is your story of your mercy. This is your story, and you deserve glory. Lord, what I play a role is only I just depend and I just obeyed you. Thank you so much for using such an ordinary vessel to glorify your great, great name, Lord. Heavenly Father, this time, whoever is listening, Lord Jesus, I bring that person into your loving and caring hands, Lord. Give them wisdom. Give them your more understanding so may they draw closer to you. May they reach out to your heart, Lord Jesus, and they can hear your voice, Lord, as I heard you, Lord. And Lord Jesus, speak to them and may they can fulfill your plan. And Heavenly Father, whoever have a passion and love to share with people, Lord Jesus, with them, especially for the Muslim people, Heavenly Father, give them your wisdom, give them your knowledge, Lord, so may we can build your beautiful kingdom on this earth, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord. Unending thanks to you, Lord. Unending praises to you, Lord, because you are the great, great God, merciful God. You looked at me among billion people. You called me daughter when my own father was not willing to accept me as a daughter. You gave me name, Lord, that Esther, Lord, when my own father didn't want to give me a name, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you, your beautiful love, your great love, Lord. Thank you so much for Rashida as we both are working together for your kingdom, Lord, because we all are your workers. We are witnessing with people your goodness, Lord Jesus, and we want many, many souls into your kingdom, Lord. Heavenly Father, help us to reach out more people. As we are serving here in the United States, Lord, give us more people so we can serve. Give us more friends and family friends who can stand with us and share with us, Lord, our burden. Thank you, Lord, for everything, Lord. I give you glory. I give you honor. All honors are due to you, Lord. We uplift you. We magnify you on high, Lord. In Jesus Christ's most high, beautiful name, I say this all. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Crescent Project Radio. We believe we have a hope worth sharing. Learn more about Crescent Project online at crescentproject.org, where you can find all of our previous podcasts featuring testimonies from former Muslims, teaching and apologetics, interviews with ministry leaders and book authors, along with commentary on current events and ministry news. Email us your comments or questions to radio@crescentproject.org. Stay connected by subscribing to our bi-monthly email, Call to Prayer, which is focused on prayer for the Muslim world. We hope you'll join us again next time on Crescent Project Radio.